At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Oxygen. Oxygen is what we depend upon to be alive here in the 21st century. Once upon a time, planet Earth had very limited oxygen, maybe even none. The period of time from minimal oxygen, or none, to the present day is vital to understand because that's where life came from, life as we understand. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor. With me is David Livingston, Dr. Space, my colleague and co-host. And we're very thrilled to welcome Yuri Reeb. Yuri is the Freddie and Nadine Herman Institute of Earth Sciences at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. And with his colleagues, he has published an article, Late Paleozoic Oxygenation of Marine Environments, supported by Dolomite U-PB Dating. Mikhail Ben-Israel is a co-author, along with Robert Holder, Lyle Nelson, Emily Smith, Andrew Kylander-Clark. However, Yuri, your title is impressive and overwhelming, so we need to do some definitions. This is the oxygenation of the oceans and the atmosphere that took place at least maybe less than half a billion years ago. Marine environments that were concentrating on the oceans. We need to know how you did this. You're dating things. What is Dolomite UPB dating? How does that help us understand when the Earth went from limited oxygen to the oxygen of today? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and I'm very happy to be here. Uranium-led dating, or maybe we'll start with just uranium. Uranium is a very interesting element because it's redox sensitive. So when there's a lot of oxygen in the environment, you'll find a lot of uranium dissolved in water. When there's little oxygen, there's almost no uranium in the water. So it can inform us on how much oxygen is in the environment. And then, but the problem is, and so we can go out and look for it in, you know, ancient rocks and try to understand, you know, how much oxygen was in ancient environments and learn from this. The problem is that ancient rocks are very old, and so they very easily can be modified through geological history. So what we did in this paper is worked out this method or approach not to look directly at uranium, but you need to remember that uranium is a radioactive element, so it decays to lead. We've been looking at the concentration of the composition of lead in this rock and worked out how much uranium was in the original sediment that formed in these ancient seas, was accumulating at the bottom of ancient seas. And so this approach is less sensitive to modification and is really a reliable way of knowing how much oxygen was in the atmosphere back then.
So you're talking about uranium lead dating, a way of measuring time. And dolomite, what is that?
So dolomite is a very common sedimentary rock. You can find it pretty much everywhere. That is initially forming or precipitating at the bottom of the sea, of the ocean. And it's a very common sedimentary rock that has, because it's forming from water, it's crystallizing from water, can capture the composition of the water from which it's forming, right? So this is our record, our recorder for the levels of oxygen in past marine environments.
So you find a sedentary rock a sedimentary rock, that is the one that accumulates at the bottom of oceans and lakes, and you measure the uranium lead measurement that gives you the time that this, the time and the scale of oxygen in the water at that moment. Is that what, is that how you did? In other words, you've got a clue here.
Right. Exactly. So we get from it the time, and usually it's not really the time when this rock was formed, but when it was modified. But we can work out. We can calculate how much uranium was in the first mineral that formed, that was later inherited by this rock when it was modified.
Wonderful, David. You have a question.
Your paper says that you collected samples from various places on Earth. I'm really curious. One of them is the Death Valley Plateau, which is sort of where I am in Las Vegas. What was the percent of oxygen in the atmosphere in this area 400 million years or so ago? And this whole area was under ocean. You can see it all over the place. So what was the level of oxygen in the oceans in the Death Valley Plateau, and how did that vary from your other samples?
So it's a good question. The samples we have from Death Valley were actually collected by Amy and Lyle and Rob Holder. And these are some of the oldest, or really the oldest samples in our record. They are late Proterozoic, so dates between anywhere between 1.2 billion years and 800 million years, and they recorded very low concentrations of oxygen, essentially no oxygen in seawater. It doesn't mean that there was zero. It was just below our detection limit, the detection limit of this approach. Right. So what it tells us is that there was very little oxygen in that place at that time.
This is how many years ago? Is there a number for that? What did you say? More than a billion?
It's between 1.2 billion years to 800 million years before the present.
So, David, you're living in the oldest minimum oxygenated place that they accumulated to test these things. What does that mean? What was living there then, Yuri? How does that translate into creatures?
So really just microbial life, okay? We're talking about algae, bacteria, maybe some very simple multicellular algae, no more than that. And, in the years that follow, like after 800 million years, it was maybe sponges. We're talking, it was nothing like the fauna that we find today. And we find beginning from 600 million years ago, where life just exploded, animal life just exploded on Earth.
And that's the Cambrian explosion. So now we come to what the explosion looked like. You said David's living where there's almost no oxygen. And moving to the Mesozoic period, when there was oxygen comparable to us in that period. And do your rocks tell you that story, million years by million years?
Yeah, so we don't have a million-year resolution, but we have enough resolution to see that the concentrations of uranium in these rocks were very, very, very low up until 400 million years. And at that point, they are increasing dramatically, which tells us that this is when the marine environments were oxygenated. And the interesting thing about it is that this happens after animals, the first animals have emerged and evolved, meaning that these creatures, these animals, have initially evolved in oceans that were oxygen limited. The level of oxygenation there was very mild, maybe 0.5% or 10% of what we have today.
We're talking about some strange creatures here, Yuri. really strange. They all look like they've been drawn for a science fiction novel. David, you've seen the Cameron explosion creatures. None of it. They don't look like any animal I've ever seen.
What caused the area to get oxygenated? Because I know that this is dinosaur area, not specifically my part, but further up toward Utah and in the northern and eastern parts of Nevada. What brought the oxygen in so that these creatures could develop?
So it's another great question. So the very mild levels of oxygen have to come from photosynthesis. We have photosynthesis of Earth working for billions of years before that, at least since around 2.4 billion years ago. But photosynthesis is not enough to have oxygen accumulating in the atmosphere. You also need to take the photosynthesized organic material and bury it by geological processes to allow for oxygen to remain in the atmosphere. So why the levels of oxygen were finally rising to, 21% or so, similar to the modern at 400 million years ago. It's another great question. And the reason for that could be some evolutionary step. For example, we know that 400 million years ago, there was the expansion of land plants, trees, bushes. And they, of course, did a lot of photosynthesis, released a lot of oxygen, and were also providing a lot of organic material to be buried. And so this oxygen got to stay in the atmosphere. This is one possibility. People have also suggested that some improvement of what we call the biological pump. Biological pump is the natural mechanism or cycle by which organic material is sinking in the sea and removed to the sediment. Maybe some improvement in the biological pump was responsible for this late rise in oxygen.
I think I understand you to say that plant life was developing parallel with creature life, and the plant life might have been the bonus, the one that created the oxygenation cycle from 1 billion years to 400 million years. Is that it? We're looking at trees and ferns doing the job.
So not exactly. What I'm saying is that the first animals were evolving in the world that under very low or low mild oxygen levels, and they did so before there were trees, and then the level of oxygen were finally rising after 400 million years, possibly because an evolutionary step that brought us the trees and the land plants.
David,
right? So this is
go ahead.
So animal life can develop or did develop on Earth with extremely low levels of oxygen. So I'm assuming, since physics and science is supposed to transcend beyond Earth and be laws of the universe, and that each place doesn't have its own set of rules, right, that what you're finding here can be scientifically extrapolated to someplace elsewhere?
Yeah, so I think that what we can learn from this example of a single planet in which we know that life evolved is that they can evolve. We can have complex life forms evolving even under environments or atmospheres that have very mild oxygen levels, right? Not necessarily extremely low, but significantly lower than what we have today. This means that, with the new generation of space telescope, if we now look at planets that are many lights years away from here and study their decomposition of their atmospheres and detect oxygen in the atmosphere, it may be a sign of life and even of a complex life living on this planet.
You're a Reeb, and his colleagues have published a piece about the oxygenation of planet Earth. But as we all remember logically, planet Earth is one of many planets we've discovered. And Yuri is, in a fashion, a planetary geologist, along with his colleagues in late Paleozoic oxygenation. We're going to turn now to a game that David and I love to play with scientists such as Yuri. We're going to give him an unlimited budget when we come back. I'm John Batchelor. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.